Hello out there and welcome to episode 145 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, five things to know about Georgia personal care homes. The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith. Hello and welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob Schenck and I will be host for this episode in which we will be talking about Georgia personal care homes. Obviously, based on the title of the podcast, we focus a majority of our time on skilled nursing facilities known as nursing homes. We don't often talk about facilities that have degrees of care that are lower than that. Locations, facilities in which the level of care required by the residents is not as great. They can still require care, but it's not like the skilled nursing facilities that we call nursing homes. In fact, very rarely do we talk about that, but I know right off the top of my head, not because I'm looking out at this sheet of paper, that we dealt with assisted living facilities and personal care homes in episode 22, where we talk about the various standards of care in those facilities. And then, of course, we had the fabulous Eric Carlson on to talk about assisted living facilities on episode 108 back in March of 2018. But in Georgia, there are several different types of facilities. There are nursing homes, there are assisted living facilities, and there are personal care homes. And personal care homes are not the same things as a nursing home or an assisted living facility. There are differing degrees of requirements to be met. So a personal care home is, right off the bat, before we go into the five things that you should know about personal care homes in Georgia, but right off the bat, a personal care home is not regulated on a federal level. And again, that was the topic of discussion in episode 108. But personal care homes in Georgia, that is overseen basically by the Department of Community Health, the Healthcare Regulation Division. They are the ones that promulgate the regulations that the personal care homes have to follow. So that can be interesting in the sense that, you know, we all often talk about the federal regulations, but when we talk about assisted living facilities and we talk about personal care homes, we're talking about state regulations promulgated by the Department of Community Health. So that is where I'm going to get the information that we are going to be talking about today in the five things to know about personal care homes. The first thing that we should talk about is the definitions of things. I kind of elaborated on that, or I kind of hinted at that, but now we'll elaborate a little bit further. But according to the Georgia regulations, a personal care home, by definition, means any dwelling, whether operated for profit or not, which undertakes through its ownership and management to provide or arrange for the provision of housing, food service, and one or more personal services. I'm going to underline that so we can figure out what personal services are. One or more personal services for two or more adults who are not related to the owner or administrator by blood or marriage. So that's a location operated for profit or not, which undertakes to provide or arrange for the provision of housing, food service, and personal services. So what are personal services? Under the Georgia regulations, personal services include, but are not limited to, individual assistance with or supervision of self-administered medication, assistance with ambulation and transfer, and essential activities of daily living, such as eating, bathing, grooming, dressing, and toileting. That's the personal services that a personal care home in Georgia will provide to a resident. So this is kind of separate and apart from assisted living care, which assisted living care means, under the regulations, literally the specialized care and services provided by an assisted living community, which includes the provision of personal services, the administration of medications by a certified medication aide, and the provision of assisted self-preservation. And again, the definition of assisted living facility, just to be clear, is a personal care home that serves 25 or more persons and is licensed to provide assisted living care. And we just found that to be the difference, being that assisted living care is not just personal services, but also the administration of medications by a certified medication aide and the provision of assisted self-preservation. So it's a little bit, assisted living care is a little bit more hands-on than the care provided at a personal care home. So that's the difference in terms of a personal care home from assisted living facility. They're not the same things. Assisted living facility has a little bit different requirements. So that's number one, the definitions. Number two of the five things to know about Georgia personal care homes is the admission criteria. So among others, the persons admitted to a personal care home must be at least 18 years old. The home is permitted to admit and retain only ambulatory residents who are capable of self-preservation with minimal assistance. In other words, staff may assist the resident in transferring from sitting or reclining position and provide verbal directions to residents who are able to self-propel to the nearest exit. So what does ambulatory mean? The home is permitted to admit and retain only ambulatory residents. So what does that mean? Ambulatory, as per the regulations, means a resident who has the ability to move from one place to place, from place to place by walking, either unaided or aided by prosthesis, brace, cane, crutches, walker, or handrails, or by propelling a wheelchair or scooter, who can respond to an emergency condition, whether caused by fire or otherwise, and escape with minimal human assistance, such as guiding a resident to an exit. In other words, an ambulatory resident means someone that can almost take care of themselves in terms of being able to respond to an emergency. It's someone that doesn't, that if they're in a wheelchair, they can move themselves. They don't have to be pushed. If it's someone that can walk, they have the wherewithal to be able to locate and go to an exit, maybe with some assistance saying, hey, go this way, but they can comprehend that and get out. That is an ambulatory resident, and those are the only type of residents that are able to be admitted into a personal care home. The home must not admit or retain persons who require the use of physical or chemical restraints, isolation, or confinement due to behavioral control. In other words, the personal care home cannot contain anybody that is a risk of danger to the other residents. And that they can't be somebody that requires, medication to prevent them from hurting other people. No home is permitted to admit residents who either require continuous medical services or continuous nursing care and treatment. And this is a big one, where if an individual resident requires continuous skilled nursing care, then their only options are an assisted living facility or a nursing home. Medical, nursing, health, or therapeutic services required on a periodic basis or for short-term illness must not be provided as services of the home, of a personal care home. When such services are required, they must be purchased by the resident or the resident's representative or legal surrogate, if any, from appropriately licensed providers managed independently from the home. The home may assist in arrangement for such services, but not provision of those services. So in other words, if at some point in time the resident requires some type of maybe physical therapy or nursing assistance of some nature, the personal care home is not the one that's going to take care of it. It's the individual resident that has to take care to provide those services, to contract out those services. No home is permitted to admit or retain a resident who needs care beyond which the home is permitted to provide. And so, in other words, maybe sometimes you'll hear of facilities taking on people that they're unable to provide services for just to get that money. In this instance, they are prohibited by law from doing that. If they don't meet the threshold of a resident as put out by these regulations, then they can't be admitted. The administrator or on-site manager of a home must conduct an interview with the applicant and or representative or legal surrogate, if any, of the applicant to ascertain that the home can meet the applicant's needs. The administrator or on-site manager must obtain a report of physical examination conducted by a licensed physician, nurse practitioner, or physician's assistant dated within 30 days prior to the day of admission using the specific report of physical examination form made available by the department. Where a home admits a resident without the required physical examination, pursuant to a specific request for an emergency placement made by a governmental agency or local law, the home must retain documentation of the need for the emergency placement and obtain a copy of the physical examination within 14 days. So in other words, you got to do a head-to-toe assessment because, you know, what the personal care home is saying is that we're not going to provide you specialized nursing services. If you're in here, you're able to ambulate, to do your own thing with minimal assistance. That's why you're here. You're not ready for a nursing home, assisted living facility situation. So that's why this assessment is so important, because oftentimes you're above and beyond what the personal care home can provide, because the personal care home is only going to provide personal services. And again, those personal services are only individual assistance with or supervision of self-administered medication, assistance with ambulation and transfer, and essential activities of daily living such as eating, bathing, grooming, dressing, and toileting. Not medication, not nursing services. So that's number two. Those are the criteria to be admitted to a personal care home. So number three is staffing. The personal care home must maintain a minimum on-site staff to resident ratio of one awake. I can't believe that's in the regs, but on-site staff to resident ratio of one awake direct care staff person per 15 residents during waking hours, and one awake direct care staff person per 25 residents during non-waking hours where the residents have minimal care needs. So it's 1 in 15 during waking hours and 1 in 25 during non-waking hours, so at night, obviously. However, the home must staff above these minimum on-staff ratios to meet the specific resident's ongoing health, safety, and care needs. Staff, such as cooks and maintenance staff, who do not receive ongoing direct care training and whose job duties do not routinely involve the oversight or delivery of direct personal care to residents, must not be counted towards the minimum staffing ratios. In other words, you can't fudge the numbers by saying that the cook is going to count towards that staff ratio. Personnel who work for another entity, such as a private home care provider, hospice, or private sitters, cannot be counted in the staff ratios for the home. So in other words, if a personal care home resident contracts out hospice care, that doesn't count as to the staff ratio. The personal care home must still meet the minimum staffing ratio of 1 in 15 during waking hours, 1 in 25, or 1 to 25 during non-waking hours. At least one administrator, on-site manager, or responsible staff person must be on the premises 24 hours a day and available to respond to residents' needs. Residents must be supervised consistent with their needs. All staff, including the administrator or on-site manager, who offer direct care to the residents on behalf of the home, must maintain an awareness of each resident's normal appearance and must intervene as appropriate if a resident's state of health appears to be in jeopardy. So, in other words, they got to, if Mrs. Johnson has a limp and that's not normal for her to have a limp, then they need to know that. They need to be able to respond to the changing needs of the residents. Sufficient staff time must be provided by the home such that each resident receives treatments, medications, and diet as prescribed, receives proper care to prevent pressure ulcers and contractures, is kept comfortable and clean, is treated with dignity, kindness, consideration, and respect, is protected from avoidable injury and infection, is given prompt, unhurried assistance if she or he requires help with eating, is given assistance if needed with daily hygiene, including baths, is given assistance with transferring when needed. Again, the staff requirements and the staff ratio, again, only go towards the personal services provided by the personal care home, which is generally the assistance with daily living activities, eating, bathing, hygiene, that kind of thing. If your loved one requires more than that, a nurse to provide medicine, a nurse services for administration of different medical treatments, then they're not a candidate for personal care homes. So even though the government of Georgia, the Department of Community Health has said these are the staff ratio minimums, be aware of that. That's what the staff is going to be doing. Number four, assessment and care plan. So assessments and care plan must be carried out just like any nursing home, just like any assisted living facility. The personal care home must complete a resident needs assessment of the resident at the time of admission and update as changes occur that addresses the resident's care needs, taking into account the resident's family supports, the resident's functional capacity relative to the activities of daily living, physical care needs, medical information provided, cognitive and behavioral impairments, if any, and personal preferences relative to care needs. So that's the assessment. It's very similar to a nursing home assessment. You're basically doing a head-to-toe observation of the individual, getting an understanding of their cognitive impairments, if any. And I would say in this instance, it's to make sure that they're not a candidate for a nursing home rather than a personal care home. So in other words, is this level of care appropriate for this person? Written care plan. So the personal care home, just like a nursing home, has to put in a plan based on that assessment. Utilizing the information acquired during the admission process and the move-in adjustment period, a personal care home which provides caregivers or memory care must develop the resident's individual written care plan within 14 days of admission and require staff to use the care plan as a guide for the delivery of care and services to the resident. And similar to a nursing home, the care plan has got to have a few things. And that includes one, a description of the resident's care and social needs and the services to be provided, including frequency to address care and social needs. Two, residents' particular preferences regarding care activities and interests. And this includes what TV they like to watch, maybe what religion they subscribe to, that kind of thing. Three, specific behaviors to be addressed with interventions to be used. Four, any physician order or order of a nurse practitioner or physician's assistant working under protocol or job description. Five, staff primarily responsible for implementing the care plan. Six, evidence of resident and family involvement in the development of the plan when appropriate. And finally, evidence of the care plan being updated at least annually or more frequently. So that's kind of the drafting of the care plan, the execution of the care plan. So you got to have one at least once a year. So that's what I think is important, is that even though the level of services being provided to the personal care home resident is not as intensive as what you would get in a nursing home, you still at a minimum have to have a assessment and a care plan, if anything, to weed out the personal care home residents that need to go to the nursing home. And number five, with regard to the five things you should know about personal care homes in Georgia, is the concept of changing condition and transfer. So in case of an accident or sudden adverse change in the resident's physical condition or emotional adjustment, a home must take the actions appropriate to the specific circumstances to address the needs of the resident, including notifying the representative or legal surrogate, if any. The personal care home must retain a record of all such accidents or sudden adverse changes in the home's response in the resident's files. An immediate investigation of the circumstances associated with an accident or injury involving a resident must be initiated by the administrator or on-site manager of the home. Additionally, a report of the occurrence of the accident or injury must be made to the representative or legal surrogate, if any, with a copy of the notification report maintained in the resident's file. The complete investigative review concerning the circumstances, the cause of the incident, and opportunities identified to improve care must be retained in a central file for quality assurance or peer review. The administrator or on-site manager of the home must initiate immediate transfer if the resident develops a physical or mental condition requiring continuous medical care or nursing care, or if a resident's continuing behavior or condition directly and substantially threatens the health, safety, and welfare of the resident or any other resident. In the event such immediate transfer is required, the administrator or on-site manager of the home must advise both the resident and the resident's legal representative. And we actually touched upon, or we will be touching upon, that concept of when is a facility required to call you, all the times in which a facility is required to call you, in an upcoming episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. So stay tuned for that. But those are five things to know about a personal care home. I think that the main thing to understand is that have an understanding whether or not your loved one is fit for personal care or is fit for assisted living or personal or a nursing home. That's the most important thing. I think that people have expectations that their loved one is a superhero and can do everything themselves. And that might not necessarily be the case. And the best advocate for your loved one is always going to be you. I'm not saying that doctors or nursing home staff don't look out for your people, but you're going to be the number one advocate for your loved one. And you need to see whether or not they qualify for personal care home or if they need to go to assisted living or nursing home. So if you have questions about personal care homes, how they're different than assisted living facilities and how they're different from nursing homes, I would highly recommend that you go check out the Department of Community Health, their website. It lays the groundwork and the regulations out for you to read. And a lot of this, it's counterintuitive that it would be like this, but it's in plain language and it's easy to understand. So going to the Georgia Department of Community Health's website, clicking on the regulations of personal care homes, you can actually go in depth and read it. You can spend, maybe an afternoon reading through the regulations and how it will affect you, everything from admissions to transfers to who qualifies to be in there, how it's different from the other forms of care for our elder population. So I encourage you to check that out. This would actually conclude this episode of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. New episodes every other week, two times a month, on Monday mornings for you to check out. There are two ways that you can consume every episode. The first way is to watch us online on our YouTube channel or on our website, which is nursinghomeabusepodcast.com, or what did I say, the YouTube already? Yeah, YouTube or the website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. I'm losing it. Or wherever you get your podcasts from. I hope that you found this episode informative, even though I read pretty much the whole time through, read regulations to you the whole time, but I feel like I cherry-picked the most important parts, and I hope that you are better for it, having listened to it. I know I am. So with that, we will see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.